Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
You know our trusted partner, TireRack.com, for their fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection, convenient installation options, and their great selection of best tires, like the highly consumer-rated Pirelli Scorpion Weather Active. But did you know they sell other automotive products? Wheels, brakes, suspension, just to name a few. Go to TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
This is Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre.
What is up, Straight Fire fam? It's me, Jason McIntyre. Straight Fire for Thursday, October 27th, Halloween weekend, right around the corner. Guys, I'm excited for Halloween. I'm excited. I got a big tennis match, rematch against the guy who beat me in my tennis ladder. I'm 3-1. I have one loss. It was in a third set tiebreaker, 10-8. I have a rematch against him on Friday. So I played a tune-up against a guy who's way, 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 way better than me yesterday. I got destroyed. Very humbled. Hashtag humbled. I'm trying not to get a too negative a mindset as I open the podcast today because, as everybody knows, you know, it depends if you went to bed early on the East Coast, you're waking up and seeing that the Los Angeles Lakers dropped to 0-4 with a loss in Denver. It was close in the third quarter. Lakers briefly led, I think, in the first basket of the third quarter. And then it got ugly. And, you know, Lakers missed a million threes. This is LeBron's first 0-4 start since his rookie year. Rookie year, guys. It's getting ugly. We'll get to the Lakers in a second. I pondered opening the podcast with the NFL, but we have a great NFL guest, so I'll go NBA, NFL, dovetail into our guest, Greg. Greg Amon from The Athletic. He covers the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who are, you know, it's such a weird scenario. Tampa Bay Bucs on the struggle bus. Aaron Rodgers upset, under 500, goes to Green Bay this weekend as a double-digit underdog. Not familiar territory for him. Bill Belichick humiliated in primetime. Just let that sink in for a sec. Belichick, Rodgers, and Brady. All not in jeopardy of missing the playoffs, but right now on the outside looking in and not looking good at all. That is, to me, incredibly strange. We've never seen that before. So we'll dive into the Bucs. I'll offer a best bet or try to at the end of the podcast. Tease an NFL pick or two for the weekend. starting to like the card, but injuries are just incredible right now. Coaches are starting to chirp about the turf situation with so many guys, especially the turf at SoFi, with so many people getting injured. All right, let's start with the NBA and the Lakers. I'm not going to really talk too much about the Nets and the Bucks. I was unhappy with Giannis going at Ben Simmons and making a layup and then saying he's too small to guard me by putting his hand close to the court. Like, bro, you're a two-time MVP. You are literally 2 inches taller than Ben Simmons. You made a layup. If you dunk on his head and want to celebrate, go for it. Dunk, yeah. Do tap your head, say he's too small, whatever you want. But to say he's too small after making a layup, I don't know. I said that on social media, and all these Nets, all these Bucks fans are calling me boomer, and I've got problems, and whatever. People just get angry. They're very defensive of Giannis. Bottom line, Giannis, hey, stop him. They couldn't. He had like 43 points. Steve Nash got ejected. Ben Simmons did not foul out, but he only had 4 points, and the Nets fall to 1-3. So that's a big story. The Sixers, not as big of a story, but they fell to 1-4, I think. Sixers lose to the Toronto Raptors. And like, you know, it's weird. Brooklyn's getting some attention. The Sixers fall to 1-4. Nobody, not a soul talking about the Sixers. By the way, I'm the idiot who picked the Sixers to have the best record in the East and go to the NBA Finals. Sixers are 1-4. No chirping yet from Embiid. He looked a little lackadaisical in the highlights I saw. I did not watch the game. He did not look, he looked unhappy defensively, kind of loafing a bit. I don't know what's going on. James Harden, only 12 shots. I like tracking stuff like this. James Harden, 12 shots. Embiid, 17. Tyrese Maxey, 21. Tobias Harris, like a $35 million man, took 5 shots. 1 basket. Weirdness going on with the Sixers. I don't want to say Doc Rivers is in trouble. It's too early. It's 1-4. By the way, I broke out a calculator because you guys will love this. NFL season now has 17 games. So I did 82 NBA games divided by 17 NFL, 4.8. So essentially 5 NBA games is 1 NFL game. So the Sixers starting 1-4 is the equivalent of you're 0-1 in the NFL. The Lakers starting 0-4 is the equivalent of you're about to be 0-1. You're getting blasted in the fourth quarter of the season opener. So here's the interesting thing about the Lakers. It isn't the loss or the shooting or that they sat Russell Westbrook. Do you know, did you guys actually take the time to look at the schedule? This is the really scary part. So they're 0-4. Friday in Minnesota. Minnesota has a winning record. Minnesota has, they look good. After that, they are at home to Denver, a team that just beat them. Then they are at home against the Pelicans. And the Pelicans, by the way, have the, they're 3-1. Then they are at home against the Utah Jazz. And I know you could scoff at the Jazz. Oh, they were supposed to be tanking. They're 4-1, and they are like 10 deep. A lot of good players, nobody great. And they are just like, it looks like the kind of team where they take the court and they're like, we don't care what people say. We got a bunch of junkyard dogs on our team. I mean, Colin Sexton, Lauri Markkanen. You guys can scoff and laugh. And oh, it's Jason, it's early. I'm just saying, this team will not get punked. Jordan Clarkson is like, hey, I'm going to start passing the ball so that somebody could trade for me. Because I know Utah and Danny Ainge, they want to be in the Victor Wembanyama sweepstakes. They don't want to be like the play-in. Markkanen's playing hard. Jared Vanderbilt, I don't know if you guys even know him. He was in Minnesota. He's like a dog defensively. Walker Kessler looks decent. Talen Horton Tucker's getting a chance. Like, they got some guys on that team. And I'm just saying. So we've now rattled off. Lakers are 0-4. Minnesota, Denver, New Orleans, Utah all have winning records. Cleveland? They have a winning record too. They're very good. They might be a top 4 seed in the East. That's how good Cleveland is. Okay? Then they have Utah at Utah. And then they have the Clippers, which is like a home game, but, you know, they're the away team. So the Lakers are 0-4, and their next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 opponents all have winning records. The Lakers, mind you, are 0-4. this has a chance to snowball very, very quickly. And listen, we're not going to do revisionist history here, okay? Have you ever been in an argument with your wife and you can start bringing up old stuff that were mistakes or annoyances or they forgot to do this, that, or whatever? That gets you nowhere. It's reductive. It serves no purpose. There's no point in going back and saying, why did LeBron get Russell Westbrook to LA? It was dumb. He messed up. It was stupid. LeBron sorely regrets it. Well, the Lakers knew this offseason they needed shooting. You're right. Rob Pelinka and company did not get it done. I think the Lonnie Walker pickup is good. I think he's been very good. Patrick Beverley, I don't know what's going on in the locker room. Maybe he's a leader there. He doesn't look like he can play much. Austin Reeves, minus 23. Lonnie Walker was minus 27. But he gives you energy. He's probably their third best player. Kendrick Nunn's in his own head. Matt Ryan, I think he got passed in the rotation by Troy Brown. That's a kid out of Oregon. He can't make any threes either. 28 minutes, 0 for 3 from deep. Yeah, Troy Brown, only 23 years old. Kind of a good buy low for the Lakers. This was a lottery pick, or maybe he was a 15th pick, sorry. So Lakers got a bunch of guys, but they can't shoot. 8 of 30 from deep. A robust 26%, which is crazy because the Nuggets actually shot worse from deep. 9 of 34, 26.5%. Lakers were 26.7. I'm just going to point out one thing. Anthony Davis, 36 minutes, one free throw attempt. Patrick Beverley had 4 free throw attempts. The Lakers' other big, Jones, number 30, bouncy, shot block shots. He had 4 free throw attempts at 12 minutes. Anthony Davis ain't getting to the line, and you know what that means. Anthony Davis is doing his perimeter thing. Now, I know he only shot 1-3 against Denver, but let's just go through his free throws. In the opener against Golden State, 9. Way to go. Way to attack the basket. And then it was 7 against the Paperclips. And then it was 4 against Portland, and now 1 against Denver. Increasingly, he's not hanging and banging. And if you look at the scoring, downward trajectory, 27, 25, 22, 22. Like, Anthony Davis, I know you don't want it, but you got to get in there and bang. I thought Jokic kind of bullied him. Jokic had a good game, but Jokic is a great player. He's a 2-time MVP. Last I checked, Anthony Davis, no MVPs. Really good player, but Jokic is a better player. I think that's undeniable. Jokic, of course, finished with 31, 13, 9, 4 steals, 7 free throw attempts. Listen, the Lakers are in bad shape, and this idea that Pelinka can continue to not trade Russ and then they figure it out over 20 games and wait till Thanksgiving, there's no way that's going to fly. It just is not going to happen. Why would LeBron sign that extension to stay in LA when this is the crap product the team's putting out? Winless. You know, you want to look around the league and take a look? Let's count up all the winless NBA teams on this lovely, lovely Thursday morning. The Sacramento Kings, a team I like a lot. You guys know I'm all in on the Kings this year. They are 0-3, but they have also played a fairly robust set of games. They played the Warriors, which was obviously extremely difficult. They're one of the best teams in the league. They opened up against Portland, which has proven to be pretty good, and they lost the Clippers by 2. They have a big game tonight against Memphis. Sacramento, you can't be going 0-4. The other two winless teams, the LA Lakers with a minus 8.2 point differential, worst in the West, and the Orlando Magic, who lost to the Knicks and are now 0-5. Paolo Banchero is playing awesome, but they have no guard play in Orlando. Jalen Suggs is hurt again. Like, it's ugly. But that's the company the Lakers are keeping right now. Folks, listen, I know you want to say this is a playoff team, and I said this was a playoff team, and this ain't a playoff team. They got a lot of work to do. Again, 82-game season, this is super-duper early. But remember, LeBron ain't playing 82 games. Anthony Davis is not playing 82 games. So I think you've got to swing a trade as soon as this weekend. I think maybe, listen, if the Pacers ain't it, make a move. Charlotte Hornets. I don't know where you want to go, whether it's who else has some guys that they're maybe looking to unload. You know, I don't think that teams are willing to sell at this point, because one of the big theories, the reason they kept saying Thanksgiving, was there would be a race to the bottom to get Victor Wembanyama. So if you're in a dogfight with several other teams, what's the move? Give away your best players, take Russell Westbrook, cut him, and then you'll lose like 27 straight when you got your best players gone. San Antonio out of the gate, 3-2. Are they looking? They're not looking to make the playoffs. There's no win there for them getting to the playoffs. There's a better chance of winning the lottery than getting to the playoffs and making it mean anything. Utah is going to want to be in that boat. They're not there yet. You can't start like this and then dump players. So the Lakers are kind of screwed. And, you know, the body language on LeBron ain't great. I don't like Anthony Davis hanging his head. You wanted to win this game with Westbrook sitting out. Can you keep him out again? What if you lose in Minnesota? Minnesota, I believe, was the place where Patrick Beverley was talking smack to Westbrook last year. Russ was on the bench, looked like he was part of the team and everything. It's just, it's really getting ugly. This is a sideshow. And folks, when I moved out here, LA became, by my good fortune, the epicenter of the NBA. LeBron and Anthony Davis get here, and they win a title. The Clippers get their super team. They haven't won anything. The Rams win the Super Bowl. The Chargers come here. Now Justin Herbert, they're sputtering. By the way, Rams now completely sputtering. And the Dodgers win the World Series, and now they get bounced early. It's just been a weird fall for the teams that were starring like 2 years ago. And I know it's tough to stay on top forever. Listen, this podcast has been rocking and rolling. I don't know if I can keep it on top forever.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of
that. Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release
presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
All right, I want to quickly pivot to the NFL before we get to our guests. So the Philadelphia Eagles traded for Robert Quinn, gave up a fourth-round pick. Listen, the rich get richer. When you're going all in, remember the Rams adding Von Miller? I don't think Robert Quinn obviously is in the Von Miller category. He hasn't been great this year, but he, look what's around him in Chicago. Nothing. And if you are a Philadelphia Eagle fan right now, you got to be stoked. Quarterback on the rookie deal, undefeated. Your front four is great, and now you add a great potential player like Robert Quinn. Cornerbacks have been excellent. AJ Brown's dominating. Listen, schedule their favorites the rest of the way. Philadelphia is going to be the number one seed in the NFC. They're going to be number one. Now, will they be able to beat, say, a San Francisco team at home? They'll get the bye? I think that's a lock that they get the bye at this point. The schedule lines up everything for them. So that's the number one thing in the NFL that happened on Wednesday. Number two, Matt Ryan. I don't know if you guys saw this video. Matt Ryan spoke about his benching, and he made it sound like he was completely, totally caught off guard. He had no clue this was coming, and he was like, you know, it was a little sad. Here's the weird thing. Who called for this? Frank Reich or Jim Irsay? If you're Frank Reich, who gives you a better chance to win? A former MVP who's 37 and looked great 2 weeks ago against Jacksonville, albeit attempting 57 or 58 passes, 37 and one half. Or Sam Ehlinger, a guy who has never started an NFL game, but does give you more mobility behind a lackluster offensive line? I don't know the answer. Only Reich knows that answer. Was it Reich? Or was it Jim Irsay? Because remember, Irsay has a quick trigger with quarterbacks, given the Carson Wentz debacle. It's just league is getting so weird. The Saints are going to start Andy Dalton over Jameis Winston. I mean, you know, Jameis, remember last year, man, he looked good in a couple games, then he gets hurt. And now it's like Andy Dalton threw two pick sixes against Arizona and interception in the end zone, and you're still starting him? What does that say? Holy cow, that ain't good for Jameis. Patriots say that Mac Jones is going to be starting. I mean, the NFL is just bonkers right now. Consider this. Belichick had to start Mac Jones. Why? Because you would have totally lost your quarterback. The guy was your first round draft pick, quarterback last year as a rookie, gets you to the playoffs, gets hurt, and then gets essentially booed off the field for Bailey Zappe, and you pull him. If you don't go back to him, his confidence is shot. It might already be shot. But at the same time, does Mac Jones feel like he's long for New England? And this is real. Like, there was an article on Fox Sports by one of our writers saying that the Mac Jones camp is unhappy with the benching. And that's what it was. This was a benching. Let's be real. If this happens anywhere else in the league, your starting quarterback gets pulled after three series and not an injury, ineffectiveness, and you're losing. He got benched. That's what happened. Mac Jones got straight up benched, and Bill's going back to him. And now Mac Jones in the back of his head is like, shit, man, do I have to play this safe? Well, what happens if I throw a pick or fumble? Am I going to get benched again? That's not a good mentality to have when you're the starting quarterback going on the road against a pretty damn good Jets defense, if I must say so. But finally, let's wrap up with, I think, what is the silliest NFL story, and that's my guy Russell Wilson. Yes, I've been told by some of you guys, oh, I look like Russell Wilson. I'm a Russell Wilson fan. I have always liked his game. He seems like a humble superstar. This was a guy who fell in the draft because of his height, instantly made Seattle a winner. Yeah, he had a great defense, and he had Marshawn Lynch. But for my money, Russell Wilson has been a terrific quarterback. If I have a vote, Russell Wilson is going to be a Hall of Famer. He's going to end his career as a Hall of Famer, no doubt about it. Won a Super Bowl, was an interception away from a second. I think he's a Hall of Famer. I mean, he got Seattle to the playoffs every friggin' year. Like, I think except one. He, fantastic quarterback. All that being said, I can see why people think he's so cringe. And the word cringe is a little cringe, but let's be realistic. When you get off a flight from London to London from Denver, and you tell the media, yeah, I'm going to be great to go. It was an 8-hour flight, and I was stretching for 4 hours, and I was running up and down the aisles doing high knees. And they put that out there. It's like, what? An 8-hour flight and you're stretching for 4 hours? Folks, I know there's a lot of you weekend warriors out there. I know some of you guys are getting older and you know you have to stretch after playing 2 hours of basketball. How long do you stretch? Is it 2 minutes? Is it 5 minutes? Let's be real with ourselves. Is it 10? Let's say you did 20. Maybe you did 30. On the day you stretch more than you ever have, you probably did 1 hour. And we're to believe that Russell Wilson stretched for 4 hours of an 8-hour flight? Do you know what 4 hours of stretching is? I can't even comprehend that. High knees while your teammates are sleeping and then telling the media about it? Now, KJ Hamler did come out on Twitter and basically say, no cap, it's real. I can understand some of the backlash to Russell Wilson. I'm starting to believe it. I personally think Aaron Rodgers is a way worse person. Just the stories I've heard from former players, former teammates, Aaron Rodgers seems like a way worse dude than Russell Wilson. But people like Rodgers because he's won more. He goes on the podcast with Joe Rogan, and you know he's anti-vax, and people like him. Whatever, I get it. Russ, man, do a little bit less. Little less. All right, now let's get to our guest. He covers the Tampa Bay Bucks for The Athletic. Greg Amon.
You know a guy.
Jason likes to think he knows everything when it comes to sports.
I know what sports fans want.
But for everything he doesn't, he knows a guy who does.
Let's just say I know a guy who knows a guy. Knows another guy.
All right, let's welcome in to Straight Fire, a guy who's covered the Tampa Bay Bucks for about a decade. He went from the outhouse, the Jameis Winston years, to the penthouse, the Super Bowl, and now maybe back to the outhouse. Greg Amon from The Athletic. Greg, how are you, man?
Hey, doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Thanks for joining me. I gotta say, tonight's game feels like a big moment in the Brady era, given Baltimore, not totally healthy, but I think everybody agrees, the better team, and Tampa probably at rock bottom last week in the Carolina loss. I'm just curious, what was the vibe after the game in the locker room around the players?
Yeah, like disbelief. And honestly, that's after, Pittsburgh the week before was a colossal disappointment. I mean, like I had written that it was the most disappointing loss of the Brady era in Tampa, and that was a 2-point loss. Basically on a missed conversion. And then you go from that to barely getting on the scoreboard at all. Carolina's 1-5, traded away, their franchise running back 3 days earlier and still managed to rush for 139 in the second half on them. It's Sunday in Charlotte, pretty much everything that could go wrong went wrong. Yeah. And that makes this Ravens game a really big one for him now.
We'll get to Brady in a moment, but I'm curious, who's taken more heat this week, whether it's fans, front office, ownership, but the defense, which has kind of been a rock in the Bulls era, with Brady, of course,
right,
got just run over by Carolina. But at the same time, Byron Leftwich, and I swear, Byron Leftwich, when he and Brady kind of were together doing the Super Bowl run 2 years ago, everybody's like, oh, Byron Leftwich in line to get a job. I mean, the offense has been anemic this year. Which side has been a bigger disappointment?
Oh, the offense is definitely a much, much bigger disappointment. The defense is probably better than they were last year. I mean, they've given up fewer points. They're dealing with injuries. But honestly, against the Ravens, they're going to be hurting in that there. I mean, they're down four of their top six DBs. They might not have Akeem Hicks again, which is not what you want to hear against a top five running attack. But no, the defense, I would say statistically, has probably outperformed expectations, wherein the offense is probably two touchdowns a game worse than they were a year ago.
Is there a way to pinpoint that those offensive woes? I know the offensive line has been a train wreck. The injuries have been significant. The abrupt retirement, but at the same time, it feels like Brady historically has done well with like the scat back out of the backfield who can catch passes. James White, yep. If you remember him in New England,
yep.
They had a couple other like shifty guys, so Brady could just dump it off and make plays. What ails this offense right now?
Yeah, there's a lot wrong with it. It definitely starts with the offensive line. They have three new starters on the interior, you know, lost a pair of Pro Bowlers. You know, Ali Marpet, their left guard, retired kind of unexpectedly this spring at 28. And then they lose a Pro Bowl center, Ryan Jensen, to a knee injury on the second day of training camp. So you have two very young, inexperienced starters at left guard and center. I think Robert Hainsey has probably held up pretty well. The rookie, Luke Getteke, who's their left guard, has struggled. And he's faced a really good lineup of D tackles every week, but he hasn't handled it well. So he's actually out for the Ravens game. They set a foot injury, but he had already kind of drifted into a platoon where he was rotating with his backup Sunday at Carolina. So they'll go with a guy named Nick Leverett, another young guy, has played before, but doesn't have a lot of experience. And, I mean, they're just hoping he can be better than Getteke's been so far.
I look at even tight end, you know, the Gronk loss obviously is massive, but now Cameron Brate, it looks like he may not go. And I'm on the depth chart and I see a gentleman by the name of Cade Otton. I confess I've never heard his name in my life. Is he going to be the starter?
Yeah, no, Cade Otton's a guy you'll definitely see a lot of against the Ravens. Fourth round pick out of Washington, a guy they really like, had a 35-yard catch that was their biggest play against Carolina. They've gotten really very little out of the tight end position. Cam Brate had a concussion, came back, sprained his neck. So this is now the third game he'll miss. Kyle Rudolph has been a massive disappointment. I mean, he has two catches in the two games he's played in, but he's been a healthy scratch five times already behind a sixth-round draft pick.
Yes.
So, no, Cade Otton is a guy that Brady likes and has already shown some things. I think he leads all rookie tight ends in receiving yards right now. It's not a great class of tight end, but he's somebody they really like and somebody, you know, has made in the last 2-3 weeks has really stepped up and started making plays.
So the defensive line, you know, they haven't graded out great against Pro Football Focus. Right. The linebacker, like Devin White, who's been incredible, the kid, I believe, went to LSU. He grades right out as the 75th of 79 linebackers. What the hell happened to Devin White?
Yeah, he's it's a bad thing. I think he's number 4 in the league in percentage of tackles that are missed tackles. It's like 15%.
Wow.
You know, he's always been a quick guy, and he's just not getting into gaps right. He's not in the right place. He's missing assignments. You go back to Pittsburgh, and he misses on the opening drive and lets Najee Harris go in for an easy touchdown. So he's in a big spot. I mean, Devin White has a fifth-year option, but if he has a good year this year, you go back to – I mean, he was NFC Defensive Player of the Month in September. And you're thinking, wow, this guy's, you know, really set himself up where if he just has that for the rest of the year, he's going to get locked up in one of these, you know, 5-year, $110 million contracts. And what he's done is he's played poorly enough that's in question. That's not a lock right now. I mean, they've got Lavonte David, who's playing, you know, in his 11th season, potentially his last season. And they want to be able to know that they can kind of pass the torch and have Devin White step in as a leader, as a linebacker in the middle of that defense. And he hasn't been that. If you go back to the first two games, was definitely there, making all kinds of plays. But the splash plays have gone away. The Bucs have had no takeaways as a defense in the last three games. Wild thing is they haven't turned the ball over either for three games. It's the only team in the Super Bowl era to go three straight games with no turnovers either way.
Wow, that's kind of stunning. I'm the only idiot probably. Well, maybe not the only idiot, but I was on them against Atlanta, and I saw that. You know, they won, but they let Atlanta in the back door. The fourth quarter, they looked like they stopped playing. They got the benefit of a late flag on that Brady hit that maybe saved them. And then they go to Pittsburgh. I'm like, oh, Pittsburgh missing everybody in the secondary. Come on. And Tampa loses outright. And then Carolina, fire sale. And I was on Tampa Bay again. And I don't know, Greg, this uncharacteristic of Brady, I'm just curious, like, you know, after that Carolina game, did you sense anything like people are starting to doubt one another in that locker room?
Yeah, I mean, what you'll hear is that guys will say, we've got to keep everybody together. And I always feel like when they have to say that, there's a risk of not doing that. You know, like normally you don't have to hear that from guys in the locker room. And I heard that multiple times in the locker room in Carolina was that, you know, the main thing is we got to, you know, get back to work. We got to keep everybody together, because what happens is the defense starts pointing fingers at the offense and vice versa. You know, defense had a good game for about 2.5 quarters where they'd given up a touchdown, but it was 7-0. They had 3 straight 3-and-outs to start the second half. And then eventually, I mean, it's like the offense keeps giving it back, and it's, you know, time of possession isn't working in your favor. And the defense starts looking like a gas defense and starts missing assignments and gives up a 60-yard run and gives up all kinds of rushing yards to backup running backs.
Yeah. And you know, you mentioned finger pointing, and this is where it gets fascinating, because, you know, you look at a defense. I know you said they've been good, but, like, who is the leader of that defense? Can it be Devin White, given how poorly he's played? And I wonder, is there someone on that defense that would be willing to call out Tom Brady in the offense?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a tough one, because, I mean, the guy brought a ring 2 years ago. He's got 7 of them. So if there's anybody that's kind of beyond reproach, it's a tough sell to call out Brady. But no, they have leaders in that locker room. I mean, they've lost some of their veteran leaders up front. I mean, you think about Ndamukong Suh, you think about Jason Pierre-Paul, they're gone. And I think Akeem Hicks is there to kind of take Sue's place, but he's been physically gone for the last 5 games. So they definitely are, you know, Logan Ryan, who would be an absolute leader in the secondary, is on IR right now and will end up missing 6 games. So there's a void of the experienced leadership. Levante David is still there, and he's absolutely, you know, kind of the most tenured, the anchor guy in the middle there. But there's definitely less leadership on the defensive side than they had a year ago.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing.
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, Love he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on
I'm
top of it.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came out from crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't me?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more. Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
So let's get to Brady, who in Pittsburgh was pointing fingers at the offensive line and kind of F-bombing them.
Yep.
You know, listen, it's easy to bring up the divorce with the wife and the distraction, but I'm still puzzled by that whole trip for Kraft's wedding. Listen, you've got your ear to the ground in the locker room. Have there been gripes about that? Brady's not locked in. He misses every Wednesday or whatever it is. Obviously not this week because of the short week, but at what point does Brady, Mr. Seven Super Bowl rings, does he lose his equity with the team?
Yeah, publicly, they're certainly not saying that. Publicly, I think they're saying he's as committed as anybody is. And to be clear, like they announced he was going to take Wednesdays off as maintenance days, and he really hasn't since. He took a rest day today, but I think five of the six since they said he was going to take Wednesdays off, we keep seeing him out there. And it's a weird thing to have to ask a coach, like, why is your quarterback practicing? You know, but he is. And we couldn't tell if that was like out of spite, annoyed at the backlash that he might want or need maintenance days at age 45. But he's been out there very consistently. Regardless of that, it's a bad look to take a private jet to go to your former owner's private wedding the Friday night before a game. And it'd be better if you came out and wiped that team off the field, but to come out and open 3-for-10 and fall behind and lose to a one-win Steelers team, you're asking for people to question if that impacted you or your teammates or the offense. Because he's a tone setter. I mean, he's a guy that, you know, for years, all you heard was every practice matters and every snap of every practice matters. And now, you know, I think maybe it's just the conditional aspect of him coming back out of retirement, but they got a Tom Brady that's going to need 11 days off in August to be away from the team. And he's going to go to a Kraft wedding two nights before a ball game. And again, he was there Friday. He missed a Saturday walkthrough. There's not a lot of revelatory details in a Saturday walkthrough.
Right.
But again, if you're not playing that well, and even when they were winning, they had four field goals against Dallas. They weren't good in the red zone. They weren't crisp. At no point have they really looked like the 2020 Bucs offense in seven games this season. So you're just exposing yourself to extra criticism when you do something like that.
I'm just – did anybody ask, Tom, how many walkthroughs have you missed in your career? I guarantee you the answer is
no. I haven't. It's not many. I can tell you that.
Yeah. So back before Arians left, he was a gruff – tough, like him and Brady reportedly had a bunch of, you know, confrontations. There was this whole thing about on the bye week they mended and that led to the Super Bowl run or what have you. But Arian's gone and now Todd Bowles there. Bowles is not the same dude as Arian. Not the same personality, doesn't have the rich history. I mean, listen, Bowles with the Jets, he didn't have a great quarterback, but they couldn't win anything.
Right.
I wonder, is that underplayed aspect to this?
Yeah. I mean, I think Todd Bowles has a great respect within this locker room because his defense was a big part of why they won that Super Bowl. You know, you go back to that game to hold the Chiefs then a touchdown. They won 31-9, but that nine was a really impressive nine if you remember that Chiefs offense and who Patrick Mahomes was that year. So I think he has all the authority he needs in the locker room. What's different is that when the Bucs struggled under Bruce, you know, you heard very honest, blunt, critical Bruce calling people out. And that's not who Todd Bowles is. So we haven't heard that. You know, I think he's still kind of been a positive guy. And that's probably the biggest contrast. I think he and Bruce behind the scenes are very much kind of the same kind of coach. He'll cuss people out. He'll call people out in meetings, but he's not really doing it on the podium. So it's a little bit of a different feel.
Interesting.
And there's Bruce is still here. That's the other thing that makes this awkward is that Bruce Arians is still a consultant on this team, still in a golf cart at practice, still wheeling around, talking to Brady, talking to coaches. He hasn't left. So you have that weird kind of emeritus role where, you know, people were asking Bowles, like, you know, would you ask Bruce to be more involved to spark the offense? And he kind of got defensive. I mean, he's worked with Bruce since he was a DB at Temple 37 years ago. They go back a long way. So you don't really hear Todd say anything
negative about Arians at all, but he's like, this isn't Bruce's team. This is my team. And if you're looking for a spark, you don't look from a spark from a former coach. So it was kind of a little bit more put offish than you'd expect to hear there, maybe.
Hmm. Well, let me ask, why is Bruce Arians still around?
I think he likes to be around. I mean, I think they value his opinion. I think he's, again, this is a staff. I mean, as much as this is Todd Bowles' team, he inherited Bruce Arians' staff almost intact. And that's fine because he's worked with all these guys for ages. But, I mean, there's five or six guys on this staff that go back to Bruce's Temple staff in the 1980s and have been with him for decades. So
it's all Bruce's guys.
Yeah, it's still – I mean, and obviously, Casey Rogers was Bowles' defensive coordinator with the Jets. And there's other guys that Bowles has worked with before Bruce and without Bruce. So it's not just – only Arians guys, but his imprint is still very much on this team is what I mean to say.
Interesting. How was the relationship, Greg, between Brady and Bruce Arians?
I think it's fine. We don't see it. You know, it was something that came up a lot this off season before Tom had retired, before and after Bruce had retired. There's a lot of complex transactions going on there. And Bruce had made a point to say, no, he thinks they're fine. You know, wanted to golf with him. He thinks that a lot of the supposed friction between them in terms of a coup or forcing anybody out has been vastly overblown. Brady has said as much. Again, I don't know that either party would really admit to something if it did exist, but they've been fairly adamant in, again, appearing in each other's charity events and things like that you wouldn't necessarily have to do if you really didn't like the guy.
But as somebody who's been around the team, the franchise for a decade, what do you think about the Arians-Brady relationship?
I mean, I don't think it's why he left. I think the way that Bruce explained it, you know, Bruce will tell you that, you know, when Tom came back, his goal all along has been able to leave this team to somebody he wanted to coach it. He wanted that to be Bowles. And it's odd, but it's kind of selfless of him to want to give Bowles a team with Tom Brady a quarterback, as opposed to he coaches this year, whatever they do, they retire. And it's like, hey, Todd, here's Kyle Trask, best of luck. So I get that. And it, again, I also get why people think that things didn't go that smoothly. And the one thing I would say is that if Brady had orchestrated a coup and gotten him out, I don't think Bruce would still be awkwardly around this team all the time.
Yeah. I don't know that I buy the
if
coup.
If you had the power to move him out, you could move him out a little bit more completely is all I would say.
I'm taking notes as you're talking. And, you know, the whole Wednesday thing with Brady just got me wondering when did they announce he's taking Wednesdays off? Back in August?
No, this was week three, I think. Okay. And it came out, and it's one of those where I think Rap Sheet had it nationally and put it out there first. And Todd confirmed it. This was like maybe a Monday. We asked him on the podium after a game and he confirmed it. And Todd kind of did a good job of downplaying and saying like, look, we have a lot of veterans that are going to get weekly days off. It was amusing. This was back when it was a thing for Julio Jones to have Wednesday off. Julio's played like 10 snaps since that day. But back when he only needed maintenance days, it was like Julio's going to take Wednesdays off. Chris Godwin's going to take Fridays off. Mike Evans is going to take Thursdays off. So it was like, all right, well, there's like five veteran types that want to have rest days just to ease the physical burden on them. Mm-hmm. And Brady happens to be one of them. And then again, to make it even stranger, Brady then refused to take his Wednesdays off, and we'd see him and he's there working out on Wednesday. And it's like you're kind of checking the practice report to make sure they're including him correctly when he works. So it's strange, but again, it's I think Brady just showing that he wants to be there. And
yeah, well, it's speculative, but I'm looking at the schedule. So in week three, there was no talk of Brady Giselle divorce. This was like they were 2-0 heading into that game against the Packers. I wonder if that was Brady saying, hey, I need to spend more time with my family. Things are not going well, so I'm going to take Wednesdays off. What do you think about that guess?
It could be.
Purely speculative.
Right, and it could be they got to a point where things are irreconcilable, and he said, hey,
right, so he's now back at practice. Yeah, right. So he's like, I don't need to take Wednesdays because my wife is not hanging out with me. Oh, man, what a mess. I am just curious. Tom Brady looks visibly thinner. And I know, listen, that's a silly question to ask a guy who covers the NFL. But when he stands at the podium, he looks thinner. I don't know. Greg, you married?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So I don't know, when you go through stressful times with the wife, maybe you're eating less, you lose weight, it's tough. What do you make of this, like, Brady new look? Because he does look, like, considerably thinner or stressed the hell out. I don't know. Which one would you think?
Yeah, he looks a little gaunt in the face. I mean, you see the kind of the cheekbones more than maybe he did. I'm not, like, pulling up old photos to try compare. But you definitely hear that a lot from fans. They definitely pick up on that. But even back in spring, I had taken a picture at the Ring of Honor ceremony this spring, and like, his hair was in a bad light or his skin wasn't in the right light. And people were ripping up and him down. I mean, the guy's 45, so it's okay if you look 45 every once in a while, too.
Yeah. I guess we can wrap up with, let's say the Bucks don't show up, Ravens beat them, and they fall to 3-5. Is this officially DEFCON 1 for Brady and the Bucks? I know the division is a joke, so they still have a really good chance. But I think at some point the Saints are going to get healthy, and I think they'll make a run. I don't buy the Panthers or the Falcons as much, but it's 3-5, like, we've got major problems, or are we already there?
Oh, no, they're already there. I mean, and honestly, their next game is the Rams, who are 3-0 against Tom Brady with the Bucks. So it's not getting prettier. They'll be 3-6 if they lose those two, and then they have to go across the ocean and play a much tougher Seahawks team than they probably expected to face in Munich. You know, you got to win in Germany to get to 4-6. That's not something Tom Brady saw when he came out of retirement. I think there's an urgency right now, very much. Could they take an extra loss? Yes. I mean, Baltimore was probably one of their tougher games just based on who they are going into the year. So it's not surprising if they lose that game. But if they're 3-6, even in a crappy NFC South, that's a tough hole to dig your way out of. I don't think the division leader will be better than 4-5, probably. Mm. But now you have to win. You have to sweep your remaining division games and just be a completely lackluster 9-8 division champ and hope you just get it together and get healthy in the playoffs.
Yeah. Would you lose to Carolina and Pittsburgh, two teams that are probably drafting in the top 10? It's
right.
Like, whoa. And listen, they didn't really separate from the Falcons. I know they were up 21-0.
Right.
And it's like, you know, they struggled that Saints game. I was on the Saints, so I remember.
3-0. Yeah. I mean, Saints was 3-0 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. So all of a sudden, they don't look like the juggernaut they used to be. I am curious. One last question. You know, Brady is squelching any talk of walking away, and he says, "I'm not a quitter." And my instant thought is, dude, you're quitting on your family. They want you home. But do you think this is Brady's final year?
Yes. I mean, he's already retired and unretired once here, so I don't say that with authority. But if I had to answer, I think it is. I mean, like, you see Matt Ryan in Indy. And you're reminded of how poorly these late career final chapter type changes can go. Great. And at least here, Brady has a Super Bowl and a division title, and this third year might go off the rails. But, I mean, short of Peyton Manning in Denver, there's not many final acts that have gone better for the quarterback, even with this being a disappointing year. So for him to gamble again and go somewhere else, I think he'll probably be aware that there's a good chance it doesn't work out as well as it did his first year the last time he changed teams.
All right, Greg Allman, The Athletic. Greg, hey, thanks a lot for taking the time. Good luck the rest of the way. You're going to be in high demand, man. This Bucks team, woof, a lot of drama.
Thanks, man. Have a good one.
The only thing better than sitting on your couch watching the game is making money while you do it. Here's your best bet.
Good stuff from Greg Allman. Unless, of course, you are a Bucks fan, and it sounds pretty bleak for Tampa Bay. I was just going through how I'm going to bet Tampa-Baltimore, and I start making a case for Baltimore, and then I look at the injury report, and I'm like, holy hell. Is Mark Andrews going to play? Is Bateman back? Like, what is going on? This team is so beat up, it's brutal. And of course, Greg outlaid the Tampa situation. No Winfield, their top cornerback on the outside. Carlton Davis is down. Cameron Brait obviously out. No Russell Gage. Julio Jones, we'll see. Hicks doesn't look like he's coming back to stop the run. Like, Tampa's beat up. So you can make a case that who the hell knows how to play this game? Tampa at home? What does home field mean? I don't know. Remember Tom Brady's nighttime woes. Everybody made all those jokes about old man and Brady would struggle in primetime. He did not look good in the opener primetime against Dallas. I mean, if there's a play, maybe it's Baltimore in the first half. Baltimore's been the best first half team this season, scoring wise.
I don't know. I mean, I don't think I can bet. You guys know I've gone down swinging 3 weeks in a row if you listen to the interview. 3 weeks in a row in the contest with Tampa. I am absolutely not touching them. I would not touch them. If you offered me a grand, Jason, here's $1,000. I'm just giving it to you. Put it on Tampa. I'd say no. I'm pocketing that money. I'm not putting it on Tampa. I'd rather put on the... I don't want to give away all my picks for the weekend yet because I still got a day and I want to look at injury reports. But I say, I'll put that grand on Arizona. You know? Yeah, the Arizona Cardinals. Road dogs, baby. Cliff Kingsbury. Road dog king. Anyways, I don't know. This was my most fun scenario with the Tampa situation, okay? So let's say Baltimore wins tonight. Tampa falls to 3-5. Then this weekend, let's say the Saints lose to the Raiders. By the way, still no Marshawn Lattimore practice, still no Michael Thomas, still no Jarvis Landry. I'll tell you, I wanted to make a case for the Saints, but you don't have Lattimore. They've been destroyed by receivers the last 2 weeks without Lattimore. It's been ugly. Now it's Ja'Marr Chase, and it was, who was the other guy? DeAndre Hopkins had 10 catches. You know, what's Davante Adams going to do? Right? So, let's say the Saints lose, Tampa loses, and Carolina beats. Yes, Carolina beats Atlanta. I'm looking hard at Carolina. I didn't bet it yet. The numbers kind of getting away from me. It's coming down. There's money on Carolina on the road in Atlanta. If Carolina beats Atlanta, folks, your first place team in the NFC South is, yes, the Carolina Panthers, the team that fired their head coach and traded their franchise player, Christian McCaffrey, who's the face of the franchise. And they will now be in first place. That's insanity with a 3-5 record. Every team in the division has a negative point differential. Tampa's at zero heading into tonight. But if you ask me for a pick, ultimately I'd say Baltimore. But listen, you don't have to bet every game. You don't. There's no rule that says you must bet every game. Of course not. Come on. I forget the exact Warren Buffett quote, but nobody has an advantage when they're betting on every horse. Something along those lines. And it's like, you don't have to bet every game. I would lean Baltimore here. Maybe there's an in-game bet on the Ravens to be had if Tampa goes down with the scripted drive and scores first. You get Baltimore at a better price. But overall, this is kind of a gross game. I may actually not be watching because there's an event I might be going to. We'll see. I don't know. But that's it for today's podcast. Obviously, we will have an NFL-heavy pod on Friday, as we always do. Decent college football weekend. Keep an eye on Tennessee against Kentucky. Kind of an interesting game. But that's all for now. Talk to you tomorrow.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing.
I'm so glad you made it.
and travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel, it's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.